Good morning, Lake B. It is good to be with you again on this Sunday morning. I'm going to invite you to just pray with me. Lord, we thank you this morning for calling us together. Thank you for calling us your people, your sons and daughters. Lord, we just ask in the name of your son, Jesus, that you would make us who you desire us to be. We give ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you in this moment, in these next few minutes, this bit of time that we have together, and ask that you would speak to us the things that you would have us to know. We ask that your spirit would work what only you can do, which is to change us and to create in us the heart that you have. This is what we desire, Lord, is to be your people. As faithful as we can be by the power of your spirit. So now, God, we just give ourselves to you in this time and invite the work of your spirit in each of us. Amen. Going to ask you to read along with me today's passage, which comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Sorry. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if you've been with us the last several weeks, probably since June or mid-June, you know that we've been talking about the role and the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Tally suggested that the Holy Spirit is an interrupter and a disruptor and an interrogator of the human condition. And if that's true, then the Holy Spirit must be very busy these days. With the backdrop of the pandemic and the protests, what might we learn about the human condition and how the Holy Spirit is creating space for the church to engage? Because I'm certain that that's the invitation, as it always is. As I said, this reading comes from the very first chapter in the book of Acts. Acts is a recording of sorts of the beginnings of the Christian church and its growth. In the first couple of verses, the writer is presenting a reminder to the readers about what has taken place up until that point. He hearkens them back to remembering all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until he was taken into heaven. All of that was precursor to what was coming next. The writer is grounding all the things that are coming next in this idea of helping them to remember what they had just experienced, what they had witnessed. Then he said, Jesus says, now that you know all of that, including the resurrection, now that you know all that, go and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. You have been baptized by water, but now go and wait because in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember now that Jesus is speaking to a Jewish people living in a land occupied by the Roman Empire. That is the context of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus appears to his disciples in all of their anticipation, in all of their hope, their identities. Their story is about to change, and they can feel it. The question that made the most sense to them at that moment, the most sense to them given their story, their identity, their history, the question that was on the forefront of their mind was this: Jesus, is it now time that you are going to restore Israel? In that moment, what they were thinking about was the only container for understanding the power of God. Certainly a God that was raised from the dead in the resurrection, certainly that same God is going to share that same power with us. And certainly that God, that Jesus, is going to use that same resurrection power and give it to us so that we too may rise and be restored to our prominence and significance. Nationalism was at this very center of their question, and it was at their center of understanding what God was trying to birth at that moment. Not that it wasn't a good question, it actually was a really good question given who they were. I mean, it was their entire identity and life, and it's easy now to look at that and go, well, they missed it. But I think I understand. This question, are you going to restore us, really holds all of their desire. It is such a parable showing how entrenched our desires are, so much so that we fail often to recognize the difference between our desires and God's desires. We often conflate the two. We see in the very next sentence that Jesus hints to them, "You will receive power to be my witnesses everywhere." Jesus was about to interrupt, disrupt their expectations in a huge way when the Holy Spirit comes, and they have no idea what that is going to look like or what was about to happen. God's desire was different than theirs. The Holy Spirit, as we know, disrupted that. They were about to see, as I said, that the Holy Spirit was going to change everything. The Holy Spirit was shattering their expectations of what they thought was coming and what that was going to mean for them, and replaces that with the beginnings of a new way and a new people. The Spirit of God was not working within their boundaries, wasn't doing it then, and is not doing it now. The Spirit of God was birthing an entirely new thing, a new way of understanding the love of God that includes all people. And as Jesus said, went to the ends of the earth, all people everywhere. That was then, and that is also now. God is still about this notion of breaking, crossing barriers. What might the Holy Spirit want to be saying to us in the midst of this global pandemic, in which the resource gap, the economic gap, the health gap between rich and poor and white and communities of color are making so very clear to us these boundaries that are there, that exist? What might the Holy Spirit be saying to us in the midst of racial unrest amongst Black and brown communities and the new awakening to the many things that are happening in our own country right now? If Jesus was telling us to be ready for the Holy Spirit to fill and direct and to guide us now, how would we answer the question, what is our desires? That's where I think there is direct relationship to the story in Acts, to our story. The Holy Spirit is still trying to move in that disruption. There is no turning back. The life of Christ and the way of discipleship, the way of following Christ, have not only been established, but they have also been made clear through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Things have changed forever. I've been wondering if the interrogating question has something to do with desire. It has something to do with what we want. If the Hebrew understanding of heart is as the seat of our desires, then I understand why we often talk about the work of the Holy Spirit is to actually change our hearts to become more like God's heart, more like God's desires. I would submit that Christian discipleship and our journey is all about our hearts being transformed into the heart of God. Not necessarily, including, yes, but not necessarily just our own individual hearts, but how is the heart of a people changed to reflect more the heart of God in our desires? Our truest identity is wrapped up, I believe, in that question of desire. Again, not as individuals, but more so, and maybe most especially as we're talking here in this faith community, more so as a community of believers, identified not by our nationalistic loyalties, but by our new common identity in Christ. Newness had begun, as the theologian Willie James Jennings says, it had begun and it began with Jesus. As Jennings puts it, as it relates to this idea of desire, should disciples of Jesus love the nation, the one that they claim and the one that they are claimed by? I have thought about that question a lot in recent months, because I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but it feels like we're coming often to this question of what does it mean to be an American and what does it mean to be Christian? Should disciples of Jesus love their nation, the one that they claim and the one that they are claimed by? And I think that's also a good question to try to frame the question that the disciples asked that day. Are you going to restore us? It may not be the most helpful question. The better question for disciples might not be that one. It might be this one. How do we show the love of God for all people? A love that cannot be contained by a nation. A love that slices through borders and reaches into every people group, every clan, every tribe, every family. White and black and brown and rich and poor and gay and straight and queer and immigrant and undocumented and young and old, all the people, everywhere, the fullest expression that we could possibly imagine of the beloved community, humanity. The question that the disciples posed that day centered themselves, what was in their hearts and their desires. We know now that might have been a little misaligned with what God was actually intending to do with those folks. Their desires were a little off from maybe what God was wanting to do in them. It is costly, though, to be aligned with God in this way. The ways of this world and its desires are old ways, and they don't fade away easily, because they are deeply entrenched in us and in our collective story as the church and as a nation. Greed and wasting of resources, the dehumanization and the violent othering of our siblings created by God, and then having the need to create the kind of structures that are needed to protect all of those old ways requires always some kind of violence, and that violence usually is against the most vulnerable. That's pure and simple. The interrogating of the Holy Spirit helps us to see these things more clearly, as hard as it is to see. And I think that's what's happening now. I think we're beginning to see things that maybe we didn't ever see before. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in and amongst us now. As I said, the Holy Spirit is disrupting these old ways. The Holy Spirit was not and is not bound to a nation. Rather, that love is what binds God. God's own love is what binds God to all people everywhere. It is a disruptive love that reaches into every part of humanity. It breaks down barriers and crosses barriers and results in the kind of expansive reach of the gospel that happened all throughout the book of Acts. I began this message with a question: what kind of space is the Holy Spirit creating and inviting us into during this time of pandemic and protest? What kind of space are we being invited to? Who are we being invited to become? And I think it's pretty simple. I think we're invited to be who we are, to be the church, to witness to and demonstrate the love and the desire of God to be made known to all people everywhere. That really hasn't changed. In this time, might the Holy Spirit be interrogating us to see if our desires actually align with the desires of God for the church? Do we desire shalom, a world that lives in peace with one another? Do we desire that all come to know the fullness of grace and truth of God in Christ? Do we desire the fullness of justice and mercy for all people? Do we desire that our neighbors experience the fullness of life as much as that we desire for ourselves, our families? And are we willing to work for it for them as hard as we are willing to work for that for ourselves? I think God's desire in us speaks clearly to our identity as the church in 2020, in this specific time and in this specific place. May God give us the desires of God's heart during this time. Amen.